Dearly Father, Lord, as we come to you this morning, God, we want to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, you are the focus of our worship this morning. You are our center, you are our being. Lord, you have made it possible for us to know you. You have revealed your truth in your word. You have sent us your Son to be that incarnate word, to die on a cross for us. Lord, that we might know you, that we might be able to have a relationship with you, that our sins might be made pure and clean through the blood of the Lamb. And Lord, now as we open your word, I pray that we would respond with grateful hearts, that we would appropriate what you have done for us, and we would let it be seen with our hands, our feet, that people would see your love through us. And we give you all the thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. As you're being seated this morning, our kids are going to be dismissed for Kids Connect for grades 1 through 3. And a time for them in the Word. And if you would, take your Bibles with me this morning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. So we can go ahead and start planning Andrew's funeral. No, so yeah, we got funeral staff here, so we're good, right? I don't like those things because it's not about me. If anything, I want this to be about how worthwhile our Savior is. And I pray that even through this journey, you know, I can't tell you how grateful I am for your encouragement, for your prayers, for your interest, for those times even when you act like you're interested in the nerdy things that I'm talking about as I've been studying. But I thank you for walking this journey with me. The whole process, and even when I began working on this doctorate, my whole process, my whole thought was, I want to be a better pastor for you. And we're living in a day and age where there are so many arguments, there's so many debates, there's so many philosophies and ideologies and things that you are bombarded with on a daily basis, and I want to be able to help shepherd you through it. And so that's the purpose of the torture of going through all that, and I pray that it is something that we get to continually celebrate. I'm not to the doctor point yet. This was a huge step towards that. What made me so nervous about this exam was it was the three professors, the experts, that are sitting there getting to just grill you on everything to make sure you're competent enough for it. And so that was very scary. But we survived that point, and now I just, it's called ABD, all but dissertation. Now I work on my dissertation in writing that. And so once we get that done, then it will be over with. So now we're on to the next phase, and I just really thank you for the support. You know, in the study of it, even last weekend as I was cramming, you read a lot of guys and you read a lot of different things about pastoral ministry. And my favorite out of all of that I read is a little book, called The Minister as Shepherd. And it promotes the idea of the pastoral ministry as a shepherd. And my favorite line is, he lived alone with the sheep and the stars. And to me, that's the joy of pastoral ministry, is you and being able to be around you and to help in any way that I can. and that's the joy of this process. And I thank you for putting up with me through the process as well. All right, let me try to gather my thoughts now, okay? And let's look here this morning in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. One small verse for us this morning as we look to this week of Thanksgiving. An important week, a valuable week for us as we look to Thanksgiving Day. But as we look at this passage this morning, have you ever found that there are some verses in Scripture that are just hard to do? You ever found those verses and phrases in Scripture that you're like, Lord, I hear what you're saying, but that's really hard for me to do right now. That's really hard for me to surrender. You know, if you love me, keep my commandments. Sometimes that's hard. If any man will follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. Sometimes that's hard. Love your enemies. That's hard. This morning, as we look at this verse, we're going to see a passage that says, give thanks in all circumstances. When we are in the midst of a year that it has been very difficult to find a whole lot of circumstances that say, I want to be thankful for that. That some days it's very difficult and there's been so much back and forth in this year. So how do we give thanks when it is hard to give thanks? I want you to see, even in this small verse this morning, a Thanksgiving theology that will help you to give thanks even in the tough times. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Here we are at the end of 1 Thessalonians, and Paul is giving a lot of very short commands and kind of firing off a lot of different teaching here to this young church that's growing. And he's giving them a lot of pointers, a lot of things to do. And you see a lot of imperatives, a lot of commands. And that's what we see in verse 18. Give thanks is an imperative. It's a command. Give thanks in all circumstances. And actually, it is connected to verses 16 and 17. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. All three of these verses are commands, and they're coming in rapid succession. Rejoice always. And I encourage you, if you're going to start a scripture memory program, here's a great place to start it. You can learn three verses real quick. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice evermore. There, you've got a verse down. You have accomplished something. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And give thanks. All three commands. And when we look at these aspects, rejoice, pray, and give thanks, look at how those aspects together aligns our sight to faith. We are not to walk by sight, but we are to walk by faith. We walk by faith in the Lord. Sometimes our sight can tell us different things. Sometimes our sight can say things don't look very good right now. But by walking by faith, we know that we have a God who can get us through it. It's reminiscent of Job in Job chapter 1 when he's getting all this news. He has lost all his wealth. He's lost all his property. He's lost all of his livestock, his house has caved in. And when he heard that his house caved in, the person walks in and says, your family was in the house. Job loses it all. And Job says in Job 1:20 and 21, then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head. He fell on the ground and he worshiped. He said, naked came I from my mother's womb. Naked shall I return. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. We walk by faith, not by sight, even in a time when it seems like it's hard to find something to give thanks for. because it's a command, because we see this coming from the inspiration and the revealed word of God, we know then to be ungrateful is to be disobedient. If we're not grateful, we're not following after God's design. Paul shows us in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21 and 22, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. How easy it is to slip into that. Oh, we know God, but we don't honor him as God or give thanks to him. And when we get into that position, our minds become futile. Because we're being disobedient to being grateful. So when we see a verse such as verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, there is a theology that is behind that, that is saying this is why you can give thanks in all circumstances. The problem is, a lot of times our sight is aligned with what's around us instead of on the God who's above us. There's a theology behind our thanksgiving. That theology is first that God is sovereign. That God is sovereign. Give thanks in all circumstances. In all circumstances. Now, I don't know about you. I learned a long time ago, all means all, and that's all that all means. There's no exception in here. Give thanks in all circumstances except when your favorite quarterback breaks an ankle. Give thanks to God in all circumstances except when it has to do with your health. Give thanks to God in all circumstances except when it has to do with your finances. Give thanks to God in all circumstances except, it doesn't say that. All means all, and that's all that all means. That in all circumstances, we give thanks to God. Because in all of those circumstances, we know that God is sovereign. To be sovereign means that he rules over everything. That he reigns over all. And he reigns over all the circumstances. When we come into those circumstances, it gives us an opportunity to reflect on his attributes. Even in the circumstances that we don't like, even the circumstances that are hurtful, we can reflect on the attributes of who God is in those times. When you reflect on those attributes, when you reflect on who God is, it creates a pattern of thanksgiving. Paul shows this in how he writes in the different letters. He shows a pattern of giving thanks. In his letters, you'll see a greeting. You'll see the salutation. He'll greet the church. He'll greet those that he is writing to. And then he'll spend time thanking God for them. Thanking God for the work. Thanking God for what is happening in their lives. He shows it throughout his exhortations to do everything with all that you have in Colossians 3:23, giving thanks to the Lord. We do it all in this pattern of thanksgiving because we are reflecting on the nature, the attributes of who God is. The big word that we could use to describe this and that God's sovereignty is his transcendence. It's that God transcends. He is bigger than it all. He is bigger than what we can imagine. He's bigger than what our minds can wrap around. That's why it's so dangerous when we try to tell God how it should go. Because he is transcending. He is above it. He is bigger. And then notice this. It says, give thanks in all circumstances. In all circumstances. It doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. And maybe you have experienced this. Because there's some circumstances we do not want to give thanks for. There are some circumstances that it is hard. We do not want to give thanks for the trials. We don't want to give thanks for these different things. But we can give thanks in them because God is with us. We don't have to be thankful for those specific hard times, but we can be thankful in those hard times because God is sovereign. He's transcendent. He is bigger. And we can give thanks because of in those circumstances and trials because God is bigger. This shows our trust in the one who's above everything. The second thing we see is not only God is sovereign, he's transcendent, he's bigger, but he's also available. Available at the end of the verse. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This teaching, this exhortation, this command, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Yes, even all these attributes, all that who God is, it's available in a relationship through Jesus Christ. It's available through what Jesus Christ can provide us through his death, his burial, his resurrection. That gospel brings into us an opportunity to have a relationship with the Father because the sin has been removed. And now we have fellowship with the Father and we have access to the Father, his attributes. We have access to who he is. That's why we see a connection to rejoicing and praying in verses 16 and 17. We rejoice, we pray, and we continue on. Thankful people communicate. There's a connection in it. It shows the value of the gratitude. What happens when people don't communicate gratitude? We see a sense of entitlement begins to rise up. But gratitude allows us to see the value of it. Thankful people communicate. They rejoice. They pray without ceasing. Thankful Christians are engaged in active Christians. And let me tell you this as well. Thankful Christians are not bitter Christians. Because they're appropriating who God is. They are allowing him to be transcendent, but then they're also allowing him to be here and available. This is called immanence. That God is with us. He is the Emmanuel, God with us. That immanence says that God is personal, that God is real in our daily lives through that relationship with Jesus Christ. We get to have that personal relationship with the Father, the priesthood of the believers, that we can pray and talk to the Lord because he's immanent. He is here in Christ for you. All that sovereignty, all that transcendence, all the bigness of who God is comes down to very personal relationships with us. The transcendence and the immanence together show God's love, his care, his concern for, yes, even our individual lives. That's why we rejoice. That's why we pray so that we can be connected to the Father. He is here. He is there for us. God cares personally. He cares individually. And he showed it to us through the sending of his Son. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. If you ever think that God doesn't love you, go to the cross. Because there we see that God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And in all circumstances, you know, in a year when we have been face to face with our fragility, when we've been face to face with the fact that there is things that affect our mortality, in the midst of that, we know through the cross of Jesus Christ, we have an anchor. We have a hope that provides for us life eternal. And because of that, we know that in all circumstances, we have an anchor. We have a hope through the love he demonstrated for us. You see, when you think about God and you put him in the right spot and you allow him to be moved in your life to that right spot, we see that thanksgiving will then overflow from that robust and prioritized theology. That thanksgiving just naturally comes out when we put God in his right spot, when we think of God, when we study and grow with the Lord and we grow in that love for him, we begin to see the transcendence and the immanence. And that theology produces a thanksgiving that God, why should you love me? When David wrote in Psalm chapter 8, when I consider the stars and when I see the moon, what is man that you are mindful of him? You know, sometimes it's good for you not to be so big. I would love that. Not to be this big. Sometimes it's good for us not to be so big, but to let him be big. To realize how small we are. And yet in that transcendence of the star maker, the planet hanger, he loved you. He died on a cross for you. And all that sovereignty and all that transcendence, he is imminent. He is available. He is here for us. And because of that theology, we can overflow with thanksgiving. That even in the midst of a pandemic, even in the midst of hard times, even in the midst of diagnosis we weren't expecting, even in the midst of financial situations we weren't expecting, we still have a God who's in control. And he loves us. He's here for us. Put God in the right spot. Trust him. Utilize his presence in all circumstances. You know, this week, after Tuesday, it felt like a lot of bricks were taken off my back. And I did some things that I hadn't done in a while. Preparing and all this, I hadn't had a lot of time to spend with the kids, and I played some basketball with Emmy. I realized how old I'm getting. But there was one small moment this week that just kind of hit me. I was getting Charlie ready in her PJs. She was laying on the bed, and we were tickling and fighting, and her infectious laugh was going. And her little three-year-old sweet voice that she tries to portray how sweet she is. But then when it's time for her to get with it, she gets real low. If I'm sitting there tickling and fighting, and I get her PJs on, I stand her up, and I zip the onesie up. And she just looks at me, and she goes, "Thanks, Dad." And hugged me. Squinted her eyes. And squeezed as hard as she could. And it was in that moment I was like, thanks, Dad. Something so small. Right before bedtime. Of hearing those little things. Of seeing that in her voice. Feeling the big squeeze, the big hug. You know what? There's a lot of times I don't listen like I should. You know, our kids, they know it. They know the signals. When we say maybe, that usually means no. Can we go to the park? Maybe. Can I get this? No. There's a lot of times they hear the, when they should get my full attention. And it was at that one little moment when Charlie is squeezing with everything she's got and just saying, thanks, Dad, that it reminded me that I have a father who's bigger than all of this. And let me tell you something. He never goes, Scripture says, cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. He listens. He hears it all. And so our response should be, thanks, Dad. And I'm going to squeeze you. I'm going to hold on to you as hard as I can. I'm going to squint my eyes. I'm not going to walk by sight. I'm going to walk by faith because you're my father. You're my dad. And I can give thanks in all circumstances because of who he is. Thanksgiving overflows from that theology. Shall we stand this morning? As we stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, this time of our service is a time for our reflection. It's a time for us to follow how the Spirit is working in our hearts and in our lives. And maybe this morning we can take this moment just to be a little bit more thankful. To see God in his transcendence, to see him in his imminence. And just to say, thank you, Father. How grateful have we been? Have we been grateful in all circumstances? Are we following the will of the Father? Do you understand the power of a relationship with him through Jesus Christ? This morning, if you don't know what he's afforded to you, if you're still struggling to find a reason to be thankful in all circumstances, this morning we would love to show you what Jesus Christ has done for you. How that he loved you. He died on a cross to pay your penalty as that sinless Savior. His blood is good enough to cover your sins. And all we have to do is call upon the name of the Lord. We come with that repentant heart saying, Lord, forgive me of my sins. This morning. If not, we would love the opportunity to show you. And in just a moment, we're going to be right here, and even afterwards, we're going to be in the foyer. We would love to show you that. And if you know salvation this morning, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to ask you, how is your theology affecting your thanksgiving? How much time have you spent thinking and growing and reading and meditating on the Father? How much time have you spent squeezing on to him so that you could be thankful in all circumstances? Now is the time for us to do that. In just a moment, I'm going to pray. We're going to have this response time. Brother Andrew, myself, we're going to be down front if there's something that we can help you with. But may we all go from this place this morning more grateful. Our Father, I pray, Lord, that you would move in hearts and lives today. there's someone that is dealing with their salvation right now, I pray, Lord, that you would give them the courage, the strength to follow what your Spirit is saying, to come to know you. Help us, Lord, to grow in gratitude for what you've done. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.